This is a production from the Yak Podcasting Network. The home for your growing sonic map of local voices, united in their commitment to the best in podcasting.
Yo, what's shaking, everybody? It is a Monday edition of the OBP, the Orange Bloods podcast. I'm Jeff Ketchum of orangebloods.com. Glad to be with you on a Monday. Honestly, really glad to be with you on a Monday. You may or may not have noticed, but towards the end of last week, I needed to take a couple of days off from orangebloods.com. I was a little bit less active on Orange Bloods by a lot. Didn't participate in the war room, didn't participate in the modcast, and just sick wife, kids in school. I just needed a few personal days. So that meant like no OBPs, no podcasts, and I missed it. I missed talking. I come back today to record on a Monday morning with a rejuvenation of sorts. Hopefully it will lead to more created content for you guys here on the Yak Network. By the way, a couple of things. Download, if you haven't already done this, go find us in your Apple store. Download the free app from the Yak, and you can listen to the podcast and download them into all the places that you want to download them to. It is a fantastic app. It is free. You know what they say, if it's free, I'll take three. Download the app. It will make listening to this podcast a more pleasurable experience, as well as all of the other podcasts that we release on the network. Shout out to JFQ Lending. Check them out, jfqlending.com. They are our title sponsor of the Orange Bloods podcast. That's a big deal. Support them. They make us possible. They want to give you $500 of credit for all Orange Bloods and Yak Network listeners, as well as cover any appraisal costs that you might have. They've got tons of five-star reviews. The Better Business Bureau loves them. Go check them out. They've been real good to us. JFQLending.com. So where do we start? It's a Monday where there isn't a Texas football game to talk about. And if I can riff on sports a little bit from the weekend, that would be fantastic. And then I can go into my UT stuff, because what ends up happening more times than not, I go into my UT stuff, and then by the time I'm done doing like 40 minutes of a podcast, it's like, am I really going to do another? Is that what the people want? Do the people want 20, 30 more minutes of me now just doing random stuff? So I'll do the random stuff first. And then, you know, we'll get into some UT football stuff as it relates to the ongoing conversation of will Tom Herman or won't Tom Herman return? So in 2021, it's the nonstop conversation that eventually you wonder if, and I got to be careful, I'm about to take the bait and start talking about it, and then I'll lose the opportunity to just talk, to riff on a few things on a Monday morning. But I do want to say, you do start to talk about, you do start to wonder if you talk about something like that too much, if that doesn't tell you the thing that you need to know, right? It's like talking to your friends about whether or not you're going to divorce your wife for a few years. It's like, oh man, just can't decide. Thinking about getting a divorce. It's like, well, man, you've been saying that since your kids were like 13. I mean, it might be, if you're looking for an answer, it might be that the repetitive need to have that conversation is telling you that thing that you need to know. But we're not going to go down that rabbit hole just yet. I feel like that's the rabbit hole I've lived in for the last couple of weeks. So forgive me if I just want to stop for a moment, smell the roses, and talk about something else for just a moment. The college football weekend that was. That was awful. It was awful. It is. And honestly, the NFL weekend was crap too. This was not the sports weekend that we thought we were getting. When we found out, whoa, what do you mean? They're going to do the Masters in November. We're getting the Masters? The Masters is in November. And that's going to happen on a weekend when we've got college football in the NFL? How are they going to do that? How are they going to have the Masters with college football? And what is CBS going to do? Like, you start asking all these questions like, oh my God, We've been looking forward to this. One of the only things that bright spots that we've had throughout this shitty 2020 year of COVID is this idea that this particular weekend that just passed was going to be so dope that it would serve as this one-off reminder of, remember that time in 2020 when they did the Masters on the same weekend as college football and the NFL? That was awesome. Like, there was this, we thought we were going to have that. So this weekend arrived, and I think we all wanted to get excited about the Masters. We did. And we wanted to get excited about college football. And we wanted to get excited about this. We want to be excited. And it just didn't live up to it, man. The Masters, you know, it's funny. I watched the NFL. I watched that Patriots-Ravens game last night, Sunday night. Not all of it, because, God, I needed a break. The NFL's bad yesterday. Except for the last, like, 8 seconds of the Cardinals-Bills game. Which we will get to in a second. But the Masters, you know, I watched the NFL game last night, and I don't miss the NFL fans. And honestly, I can watch college football as a TV viewer, and I'm mostly okay without the fans. Like, you give me a really good game, and it can feel like college football to the naked eye watching, especially if there's some fans in the stands. It's strange how, just from an atmosphere standpoint, just having some folks in the stands at all can deceive the brain and the eyes. I couldn't do it with the Masters. And it was gorgeous. Like, my wife walked by, Heather walked by a few times and would look at the screen. Who was it? I was like, maybe it was ESPN Game Day was doing their Saturday pregame show at the Masters. So she walks by and she's like, oh my God, that's beautiful. I was like, yeah, no, they're doing their show there because, you know, where the hell else are they going to go? It makes more, just as much sense for them to be there with no one around than it does to go to a college campus and it being a ghost town. And so the visuals were beautiful. And I watched the golf, and I attaboy Dustin Johnson. Like, feels like we too often lump him into a failure category, but now he's won a couple of majors, and now that's like his 25th PGA Tour win. I don't know if yesterday was the 24th or if he had 24 going into the weekend, but like, this is number one, the world's number one ranked golfer. Like, you know, this is a guy that isn't, I received some pushback to a Phil Mickelson comparison with Dustin Johnson, but for so much of Dustin Johnson's career, we've looked at his status as for things that he hasn't done, the runner-up finishes and the collapses and these things that he hasn't won the majors that his gifts would suggest that he's possible of doing. But now he still has, assuming he can stay healthy, he still has about a decade of prime left in his career. He's got a couple of major wins. Suddenly, once you get to a couple, now your number of wins start, you know, they hold the number of wins against you when you haven't won a major. But then once you start collecting the majors, it's like, oh, he's won like 24 times, two and growing. Like, suddenly the guy's putting together a Hall of Fame career. And this weekend, like, they won't ever be able to take away the fact that that was one of the most dominant. You know, he finished minus 20. Like, it was an amazing tournament for him. But I couldn't watch it as a fan and completely, I needed the gallery. What I learned this weekend is that a lot of golf tournaments I've been able to watch without the fans, and I've been okay with. I needed the gallery at the Masters. Weirdly, I think I needed it more than any of the other majors they played this year that I've watched. I missed the gallery, and it impacted it. So the Masters wasn't as good as I thought the Masters was going to be, and we didn't have any drama. We really didn't. Good on Dustin Johnson. But college football sucked on Saturday. If you didn't watch a single second of college football on Saturday, you didn't miss nothing. I have nothing for you. I have nothing other than Indiana was pretty cool. Check out the Hoosiers. Other than that, this past weekend was a total 5 minute. Go to Yahoo Sports, go like ESPN.com and watch like a 5 minute recap. That's all. I don't even know if you need 5 minutes. This might be 60-second video highlight. Just show me something interesting that happened. And I really can't remember much. It was not a good weekend. You know, in the Big 12, Tech came back to beat Baylor, which I didn't even know until Sunday. I think I watched a lot of that Texas Tech and Baylor game. I really did. It was my choice of games on Saturday. And I know Alan Bowman came in and replaced the quarterback. I know that Baylor controlled that game for much of the game. They had the lead. And then in the end, I missed it. I never cared to go back and see who won it. And Tech came back and won a game, like 24-23. And it had been 23-17. And you knew that Tech would probably come back and win the game, but I just didn't. I never, after watching so much of it, I didn't finish it. And then on Saturday night, I made zero effort. It's true. Yesterday, I went to like ESPN.com and I clicked on the scoreboard because I needed a reminder. Like, what the hell, did anything happen? And I looked and I was like, not really in the top 10. I mean, Notre Dame played. Florida beat the tar out of Arkansas. That's about it. And then I was like, what happened in the Big 12? And then I was like, oh, there was only two games. And then I hit on the Big 12 schedule, and I was like, oh, Tech beat Baylor. I forgot I had – I literally yesterday I was like, I forgot I had been watching that game. And I cared so little about the outcome of that game, even though I had been watching it like some sort of – I really need to have a conversation with myself about how many hours did I commit on Saturday to watching this game. I know that Tech won the game, but do you know that I did not click on the box score to see how it happened? I have no idea. I assume it wasn't a Hail Mary because I didn't see the video of that. So whatever – let me see what happened. I'll do this while I'm on the air. I'll do this while I'm recording. I have no idea when the game winning touchdown was scored. I watched that game into the fourth quarter. I feel like I watched that game into the final 6 minutes. Because I remember the announcers a couple of times just said things. At one point, they were talking about how Baylor was going to miss Charlie Brewer a lot. And I was like, will they? He's been a nice player, but like, they've had better players they've missed. Okay, here we go. Real quick. So Tech scored. Oh, by the way, West Virginia beat TCU 24-6. I completely forgot that game had happened. The Texas Tech Baylor game. If I go to the play-by-play, what happened? How'd they score? Oh, they kicked a field goal. I had no idea. It had been 23-18. Then they kicked a field goal with 3:40 to go. Well, there you go. I'm talking about, did Tech have a Hail Mary? No, they didn't. They really didn't. Instead, Tech kicked two field goals in the fourth quarter. Or I don't know. Yeah. No, lovely podcast content I'm giving you now, right? Reading the box score. I'll stop that. I'm just letting you know that was the college football weekend for me. And I gave up Saturday night. I did. So I gave up. The Masters just wasn't quite the same. And then the NFL on Sunday, well, thank God the Cowboys didn't play and make it worse. It just wasn't very interesting or exciting. The games were not very good. And then my fantasy combo of DeAndre Hopkins and Kyler Murray hooked up for like one of the best plays you'll ever see in an NFL game with that pseudo Hail Mary. One of the best catches I have ever seen. Such a great catch. It probably overshadows the throw. It was fantastic. But on the whole, I think I had the TV on for about 10 hours of NFL action on Sunday, and I did not get repaid for my investment. So the Masters wasn't as good. The Masters was probably the highlight, and the Masters was underwhelming. But compared to college football And you know what I wish I'd done? I wish I just skipped all that and watched The Queen's Gambit a second time. By the way, best TV show I've seen so far this year. Highly recommended. Go check it out. So I show up today. I'm just kind of meh over the weekend as a whole. What it allowed me to do, though, was to think about Texas football a lot. So, and in thinking about Texas football, it's impossible not to just keep going back to these conversations that we keep having. And I'll be honest, like most of there is a big push from a lot of people behind the scenes that are acting like Tom Herman is done. And not because they think he's going to lose before the season is over. And so there's this assumption that, well, yeah, they could win out, but that ain't happening. Like, more than that, there is this conversation and scuttlebutt of discussion that things are done. And you're seeing it on Orange Bloods. I mean, there are hints and whispers and behind the scenes, like, we're hearing that as well. However, As I continue to talk to the highest level sources that I speak with, they just don't quite speak with it about it in those terms. There's my highest level sources would seem to indicate, look, man, Tom Herman wins the Big 12. Now that is a high bar. That's not when your last three regular season games get to the Big 12, you're safe. That is win the Big 12. If he does that, I have been told by enough people, or enough most important people, that like that idea is still in my head. And McComas and I keep having this thing on our Slack channel where it's like, when was the last time somebody won a conference championship in major college football and fired the coach? Like, this would be, I'm not even saying it would be the wrong thing to do. It would be tough. I mean, the school's only won two Big 12 championships in essentially the last quarter century. You got to go back to James Brown. James Brown in 96, we're almost there, right? We're not quite at a quarter century. You'd have to include 96 to make it a quarter century. But even if you include, if you literally include James Brown's 1996, which is, you know, you haven't been winning any, but it just so happens that the 25th year is one of these years that you've won. They've won three in a quarter century. They've won none in a decade. They've won one in 15 years. They've won two in the last two decades. Texas football and getting rid of Tom Herman when he would do it would just, it'd be the most peak Texas football thing of all time. I mean, Tom, if you're listening to this, I apologize for saying this out loud. This is wrong, but there's some serious like bottleneck stuff going on there. If you're getting rid of a coach when he wins, when he has had the best season since 2009, and you're like, we're pulling the Jeffersons. We're moving on up. And then just substitute, you know, Urban Meyer for the East Side. Like, or God, man, how hated would Tom Herman have to be that old boy goes 9-2 and wins a Big 12 championship and Texas is like, later, holla. You ain't got to go home, but you got to get the hell out of here. That would be fascinating. So there are these people. There is a segment of people who are whispering, oh, it's done. It's done. It's done. Hartzell's on board. It's done. So I run that stuff by the people that I trust the most. And they frame it different than it's done. What in the world you do with that, I don't know. I do believe it still leaves, and I've talked to sources that have said this, that they're rooting You know, it may not be that in a actual game that they will root against their team. But deep down, there are people who are like, yeah, man, let's make this easy. Lose a game. We'll bounce you. The money seems to be there. Seems to be. Nobody seems to be tripping over the buyout. Whatever happens doesn't seem like the buyout and COVID are as big of deals as they were 5 months ago. Like, what saves Shaka won't save Tom Herman. But also the thing that we never saw with Shaka was like, how did the end of the season play out? We didn't even see, would they have made the tournament? If so, you know, like we think we know. I've been wondering, like, what the hell would happen if COVID canceled the season? It sounds like Tom would get the bounce. That's some hardcore shit, man. I don't mean to laugh about it. There's some absurdity behind the idea, though, that in a year the 7 coaching change thing, it's his fault. It's Herman's fault. Herman can't control that he needed to change 7 coaches in a year where there was a pandemic. But, you know, I'm not the only one. I think everybody kind of frames it like it's a year where there was a pandemic when he had to change 7 coaches. And it's like, well, that he had to was his fault. Like, all those dudes that he fired, he could have fired the year before that. And like, he didn't have the foresight to do so. So he had to wait until after his 3rd year. And then it became problematic because it happened to happen at a time when the pandemic hit. Like, that's bad luck, but like, that's his luck. That happened because of his decision-making. But dudes losing their jobs in the pandemic, so kind of hardcore, because I think it's the type of thing that athletic directors behind the season would say, oh, we can't. Nobody's losing their job this year. Freebie. Just like the NCAA is like, everybody's eligibility is free this year. I think there's been this feeling like, before the season started, this is such a hard year. This is such an unprecedented, different year. Nobody's losing their jobs. Some dudes losing their jobs. Will Muschamp losing his job over the weekend with a $13 million buyout, quietly, I think, pretty critical for Texas. Texas, and I tried to articulate why this is a deal in my Orange Blood, my 10 thoughts from the weekend over on Orange Bloods. I don't know that I did a great job. Like I mentioned, it's not a bad thing that Texas has a precedent, because Texas likes precedents. And I don't think that carries as much weight as me kind of describing it. Texas as an institution, typically, you know, and I start saying things like in previous coaching searches, like, hey, you guys should go out and hire John Harbaugh. Well, how much do you think John Harbaugh would cost? Well, you guys might have to pay him like $8 million. We might pay someone up to 6, but 8 would be at the time the most in the, we're not ever going to pay someone the most. We need people to come in and do that first. We'll pay someone 8 after other people are paying people 8. That's kind of how Texas rolls. So when I was having conversations about Shaka Smart and just COVID conversations in general back in the day, you know, part of the thought process was, man, ain't nobody else going to be firing their coach. What are we going to do? What are we going to do when we attempt to eat this huge buyout number and the rest of college football looks at us and goes, shame, shame on this institution that should be about higher learning and clearly in these troubled times is focused on football. Like, that's the kind of shit Texas is typically really worried about. But, you know, will Muschamp get shit canned this weekend? That helped. Does. When this season is over with, there's going to be coaches losing their JOBs. Michigan. It will not be inexpensive to fire John Harbaugh. or excuse me, Jim Harbaugh. It won't be. Michigan's going to do it. What the hell Michigan does post Jim Harbaugh, who the hell knows? USC, they may be 2-0, but you get the sense that their fan base is looking at their 2-0 the way Texas fans are looking at their 5-2. Well, I mean, yeah, 5-2, but, and USC fans will be doing that right now. Yes, 2-0, but we should be 0-2. We could be 0-2. We should at very best be 1-1. Man, we got lucky to be even 1-1. How the hell were we 2-0? We need to make a change at head coach. That's a conference. That's a USC fan right now. So Texas has very favorable optic creating things around them. When this thing's over with, when the season's over with, Texas can fire Tom Herman if it wants to, and ain't nobody going to notice. Nobody's going to go, oh my God, Texas did what? South Carolina just did that. South Carolina just ate $13 million a buyout. And a lot of people were like, holy cow, what a buyout. South Carolina didn't have as much money as Texas. And they just did that. That matters. It matters to Texas people that it not look like they've sold their souls and are doing things outside. Texas likes for a marketplace to be established that it can work inside of and say, this is just what we got to do. Look at what they did with women's basketball. You know, they go out and get Vic Schaefer. I mean, they had to spend money. They had to legitimately say, look, in order to compete at the highest level, this is what it costs to go get this kind of guy. And look, Vic Schaefer isn't the highest paid coach in the country. They just paid him like in the ballpark of that. That's what Texas wants to do. It is the real last remaining hurdle with a guy like Urban Meyer that I would need to see. Because the idea, nine's like the market now. Which makes me think that if someone's going to pull Urban Meyer and his unhealthy body, like Urban Meyer's not coaching right now, not because he doesn't want to coach, not because he can't get a job. Like in theory, Urban Meyer is sitting it out because health-wise, he needed timeout. Coaching is not the best thing for Urban Meyer's life. It's not. But man, he loves it. It is who he is. So, I think, will come back. I think Texas could lure him back. But I don't think Urban Meyer's coming to Texas for like $7.5 million per year with some bonus structures where they get him. He could get to 10 if he wins champion. Like, that's not what Urban Meyer doesn't need to do that. So the last thing in this step of things that would need to occur in order for a guy like Urban Meyer to be hired is Texas would have to prove to me that they'll set the new standard. That, or Urban Meyer would have all of this leverage and want the Texas job so bad that he cuts them a deal, like a pity deal. That doesn't feel like the world I live in. It just doesn't. I mean, maybe it does to you guys. If you guys can show me the deal where men like Urban Meyer negotiate below market deals for themselves out of niceness because they want to work at a place. I mean, Urban Meyer ain't from Texas. This is not his. Look, we all agree Texas is a great job. I just know that I can't close my eyes and imagine Urban Meyer wanting to work at Texas so bad that he would just come here for, you know, about the same kind of money that Tom Herman's currently making. I mean, if you're looking at Tom Herman and you're like, well, look, man, and Tom's supposed to be making like 6.5 in 2022. You're trying to tell me that I'm not worth double that? I mean, if you only want to pay a coach 6.5, you don't want to go up. You guys should just keep Tom Herman. If you want to get one of the best coaches in the history of the sport, guaranteed cash championships, you pay for that. If you think that Urban Meyer is like, no, I know my market value, but I want to coach at Texas so bad that I'll make less than Dabo and less than Nick to make you guys feel, but no, if you want to believe that, believe that. I believe in order for Texas to get Urban Meyer, they will have to break the bank. And I'll see it when I believe it. Not because I'm not saying they won't do it. I'm just saying in my entire life, in my career, in my quarter century of covering plus of covering this program, that has never happened. Texas has never, ever done that. Anytime, any place, anywhere. It had once upon a time bragged about being the Joneses. DeLoss came up with some doozies in terms of quotes about, and look, Longhorn Network, I mean, the Death Star, like, you know, when it comes to spending, not generating money, spending money, setting the marketplace, whipping out the biggest bag of money that anybody in college sports has ever seen, Texas ain't ever done that. So I'll just need to see it to believe it. I've just known too many dudes in my lifetime that always talk about the things that they'll do if a certain if this ever happens, you just wait. You just wait. When this, when I get divorced, I'm going to be hooking up with all the way. It's always something, right? Oh, when the kids get out of the house, I'm going to go crazy. And then it's like, well, what are you guys doing? Oh, nothing. I'm just chilling. Just hanging out. Oh, boy, I wish you'd say it to my face. Because if you ever said it to my face, boy, I would do. What would you do? What would you do, Bill? What would you do, Bob? Huh? What would you? You're going to fight? Is that what you're going to do? Right? Like, I mean, I just feel like as dudes, mostly dudes listening to this, women know how full of shit dudes are, so I don't need to convince them of this. Dudes listening to this podcast, surely you know what I'm talking about. Surely we just know that as individuals, men like to talk a big game about all kinds of stuff. If I ever saw this supermodel, I would show her my charms and win her over and give her the best night of her. She'd walk past you and you wouldn't say a damn thing. If you were ever in the same room. And if you did say, you know what I mean? Like, what we talk big games, and this is where I'm at with Texas. Texas is that dude who's telling me about all the stuff he will do if he ever gets the chance. Well, Texas may have a chance. I just need to see it to believe it. I need to see Texas whip out the money bag, pay Urban Meyer the money that his status would warrant, not be trying to put his ass on layaway, because that's the most Texas thing ever. Well, let's see if we can get him on a point structure, and then we can bonus him to death. Man, Urban Meyer wants all the upfront money and a bonus structure. What are you talking about? Oh, well, we can get Urban Meyer to 10 if he performance. No. let me just state this, my opinion, for the record. If Texas wants to get Urban Meyer 10, to quote Billy Bob from Varsity Blues, motherfucking 10. I give it 10. 10 mil is what it's going to cost, in my opinion. Before the bonus structures, you're giving Urban like 5 years 50 plus, because in 5 years the 50 will be outdated and Dabo will be making 12 and you'll be giving him a raise anyway. It's 10 per 50 total with bonuses. That's how you hire Urban Meyer. That's how you do it. That's how you do it. You don't come at him and tell him, well, we're going to do 40 over 5 but then we're going to leave $10 million in easy to achieve. But no, shut the hell up with some easy to achieve bonus structures. If it's so easy to achieve, just give me my damn money anyway, make it guaranteed, and then give me some bonuses that aren't so easy to guarantee. I want those. I want you to pay me for all of the easy to achieve bonuses. You just give me that. It's easy to achieve. I'll achieve it. Let's just guarantee that in my contract. Now, you want to put some $250,000, $500,000 bonuses for doing the damn thing? Yeah, you can add that in there too. That'll keep me happy. That'll keep me happy. Texas trying to put him. What if we put $10 million up front and then at the end of the year, we backload it? Would you do the Bobby Bonilla deal? Like... laughing thinking about it. So that's where we are for me. That's where we are. Herman walks a tightrope. Still got people telling me at the highest level, if he wins the whole damn thing, then, you know, the Indians weren't able to fire Lou Brown after he won the pennant in Major League. And technically, it wasn't even a pennant, right? They just in Major League qualified to compete for the pennant. Funny to think about how the ending of Major League went down. They just qualified for the playoffs, right? Like, that was what they did. Anyway, random thought there. Back when, like, the divisions in Major League Baseball hadn't been split apart, and the 80s were an interesting time. It's almost hard to remember how baseball was played back then and how they settled things. All right, look, that's enough of my rambling. I will do this again later in the week, maybe tomorrow. Who knows? Maybe do some guests. We'll have a good time. Until then, thanks for listening to the podcast. Hope you got something out of it. You guys be good to each other. Not enough of that going around in the world. Later.